This is the Daily Radio Ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, here's Pastor Sandy in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 as he begins his message, Mr. Natural and Mr. Spiritual.
Superheroes have superpowers. In fact, to be a superhero, you need an ability that transcends, that exceeds natural limitations. For example, Superman, he's got X-ray vision, the capacity to fly. Spider-Man can spin a web and crawl up a wall. Flash has lightning speed, either to think or to move. Blade has an enhanced sense of smell. He smells what other people don't. The Silver Surfer, now there's a superhero for you. He can absorb energy. He even has this little piece of metal that he uses to sort of skim across the universe. The Wolverine has a healing factor, which means no matter the injury, just give him a little time and probably next week and he'll be back. And then Iron Man, he's got some abilities. He's immune to radiation. He can breathe underwater. He can even make himself invisible. Lately, my 2-year-old grandson, Luke, has been running around his house in a red cape and in a Superman costume, pretending to be a superhero. But wishing does not a superhero make. You need a super ability. And here in the last half of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul tells his readers that as believers in Jesus, and thanks to the Holy Spirit, we too have a supernatural capacity. How else can you understand verse 16? It's incredible when you think about it. He tells us, we have the mind of Christ. In this morning's text, Paul talks about two types of people, the natural man and the spiritual man. Mr. Natural, well, he's just that. He's normal. He's human born. He has simple intellectual powers and wisdom. I mean, not much to speak of, like the normal person. He can see what's at the end of his nose. Well, sometimes. But Mr. or Miss Spiritual, this is the person who's been enlightened and instructed by God Himself through the Holy Spirit. He or she can tap into the deep things of God and become privy to supernatural wisdom. And as a result, it's the spiritual man or woman who truly lives a heroic life. Well, this morning we want to start where we left off last week, last time, chapter 2, verse 8, where Paul quotes Isaiah. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, this verse is often used to refer to the afterlife, to heaven. And it is true, Jesus is cooking up for us a heaven that's going to blow our minds and boggle our eyes and ears. I believe heaven's going to be a sensory experience unlike anything you've been exposed to on earth. Imagine the prettiest sunset, the bluest ocean, the autumn colors at their peak, snow-capped summits. Imagine all of that rolled up into one. I mean, compared to heaven, life on earth is like black and white TV. It's like AM radio compared to the high-def heaven that awaits us. In heaven, the colors will be richer, the sounds will be warmer, everything will explode with brilliance. You can apply verse 9 to heaven, but I don't believe that was Paul's intent. In fact, rather than the afterlife, I believe Paul is speaking here of the here and now. That God has incredible blessings and power and wisdom stored up for us now. Heaven doesn't begin when you get there. It begins when you become a Christian. It begins now. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. Our minds can't even imagine what God has prepared for the Christian in this current life. Yet this poses a problem. Since Paul has eliminated our normal portals for receiving input, our eyes and our ears and our minds, Well, where are we going to receive the truths that God has for us, the blessings He has for us? I mean, spiritual blessings have no pixels, and so they're not discerned by ocular means. The Spirit of God doesn't speak or sing in frequencies that the human ear can grasp. God's ways can't be deciphered by the brightest intellect or even the most inquisitive imagination. So how are we made privy to the things of God? Well, Paul answers that question in verse 10. He says, "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit." In our last three studies, we learned how that God works in paradoxical ways. He chooses the weak to display His strength. He uses the cross, what the world calls foolish, to baffle the wise. God places all His wisdom and power in what the wisest of this world consider foolish and feeble. Again, X marks the spot. It's at the cross of Jesus Christ that humans find the wisdom and the power of Almighty God. God has also revealed His wisdom and power in the makeup of the church and even the methods of the courier, Paul himself, the gospel messenger there to Corinth. The church proves it's not about status. The courier shows it's not about skill. God fills His church with nobodies who become somebody in Christ. And He uses trembling and simplicity, not overwhelming oratory, to win hearts. Paul came in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And thus, the cross, the church, the courier, they're all examples of God's power and wisdom and blessing. We go to the cross, we're part of the church, we model the courier, we know where to go, I know where it's at. God has revealed His power and His wisdom, but how do I now tap into that power? How do I draw out from that wisdom and really drink from the fountain of God's blessing? How do I do that? Well, here's the answer. Paul writes, "For God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God." When God transmits His power and wisdom and blessing to us, His method of conveyance isn't visual, it's not auditory, it's not even intellectual, it's spiritual. If you're expecting God to snatch you by the lapel and a giant finger fall from the sky to direct you where to go, stop looking. If you're anticipating an actual voice from heaven, you know, a deep baritone, sort of like James Earl Jones talking to you? Hey, I'm sorry. Paul says that God doesn't convey His will to us through eye or through ear. And He doesn't even do it through our intellect. There's no degree you can obtain or course of study or intellectual exercise where you can boost your IQ and develop the smarts to know the deep things of God. It's not about seeing or hearing or learning. God's Spirit reveals these things to us. Of course, you might say, well, Pastor Sandy, what about reading this book? What about reading the Bible? Doesn't God speak to us through the Bible? And the answer is yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. But though the Bible is called the Word of God, it was never meant to be approached without the Spirit of God. Jesus said this, in John 14, verse 26, He said, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things." John says the same in his first epistle. The things of God, even the Bible, can't be grasped by the human mind alone. They're spiritually discerned. It's the Spirit who searches, who digs out, and who brings up, and who shines on the deep things of God. The Bible involved the Holy Spirit's intervention on both ends. As it was written, holy men were moved by the Holy Spirit. And as it's read, the same Spirit who wrote the Bible helps us grasp its radical intent. You know, all we'd have to do is visit a seminary somewhere to find a professor who knows this book academically but has never experienced it spiritually, who's never been awed by God's presence and tasted firsthand of God's grace and mercy. The deep things of God have yet to make it the 18 inches from his head down to his heart. This is why having an intellectual knowledge of the Bible and knowing it experientially are apples and oranges. In Matthew 15, Jesus said this about the Pharisees. He said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." The religious leaders had mouthed all the right words, but they were a stranger to the spiritual realities. God never intended for his blessings and his truth to be conveyed the way we might teach someone math theorems or multiplication tables or the rules of grammar or baseball statistics. No, God sees to it that the deep things of God are communicated spiritually. Author Philip Yancey, he notes how that many of the animals have senses that enable them to interact with the world around them in ways that we as humans can't. For example, bats use sonar to find insects to eat. Pigeons use magnetic fields to navigate flight. Bloodhounds pick up on smells that we could never sniff. And like the animals, we too need a super sense to see beyond the tangible world around us and live in the spiritual world. Yancey writes this. He says, "Perhaps the spiritual or unseen world requires an inbuilt set of correspondences activated only through some sort of spiritual quickening. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above," said Jesus. His words point to a different level of correspondence available only to a person spiritually alive. Like the animals, we need an extra sense. For there is a big chunk of this life that we'll miss out on if our only receptors are eyes and ears and brain. God's truth, his presence, is revealed by his Spirit. This means that knowing God is different than taking up a new hobby or learning a new language or even meeting a new person. It's not a normal correspondence. It requires another sense, a superpower, if you will. If we want to know God and tune into his will, we have to go deeper. And the only way for you and I to do so is with the help of the Holy Spirit. As Paul says, it is the Spirit who searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The famous musician Ray Charles, he suffered from glaucoma at an early age. His mom knew that he was going to lose his vision eventually, and so she tried to prepare Ray. There's a scene from the movie that depicts her efforts. At 10 years old, Ray walks into the house and he trips over a rocking chair. He falls on the floor in pain, and he cries out for his mother's help. Well, at first she takes a step for him, but then she sort of realizes what awaits him, and that he needs to be prepared. And so she steps back to kind of leave it to him to figure out. The movie progresses, and at first Ray begins to hear noises and moves in their direction. But it's not exact. He senses a crackling in the fireplace, and so he reaches out his hand, and ooh, it's too hot. It sort of burns him, and he pulls it back. His mother, of course, is looking on the whole time, concerned for her son, but determined to let him learn these lessons. Over time, though, Ray's hearing becomes acute, so much so that the day comes when he hears a grasshopper chirp. He reaches down, and his hearing is so precise, he knows exactly where to grab it. He smiles, and he puts up the grasshopper to his ear to hear it closely. Still watching her son, Ray's mom is amazed by his progress. In fact, she sort of gasps with joy. And that's when Ray says, "I hear you, Mama. You're right there." Ms. Charles tears up and says, "Yes, I am." And then she gives her blind son a big hug. And this is God the Father's attitude toward us. You see, he knows our limitations. He realizes that we're blind to the spiritual world around us. And in order to survive, we've got to develop another sense, a spiritual discernment. And even if it means us groping and sometimes falling on our face, despite the inherent dangers, God knows we need this deeper sense to relate to Jesus and serve Jesus and become useful for Jesus. And then when he finally sees us getting it, that we're growing more and more sensitive to his Spirit, he picks us up and he wraps us in his arms. You see, God is broadcasting amazing things, but you've got to be tuned into the right channel. God's stuff is conveyed by God's Spirit. This is what Paul continues to say in verse 11. He says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." In other words, life is lived from the inside out. Appearances can deceive. Take a man, for instance. I mean, you can shave your head. You could change your appearance. You can shave your head. You can grow out a big beard. You can lose some weight. You can radically change the facade. But the real person is the spirit of that man, which is in him. I thought one of the most insightful comments about Bruce Jenner's gender change was actually written by Franklin Graham. In a Facebook post, Graham wrote this. "In Vanity Fair's cover story, the author talks as if Bruce and his newly chosen identity of Caitlin are two separate people. Bruce's son Bert said, 'I have high hopes that Caitlin is a better person than Bruce.' This article also says Jenner openly acknowledges mistakes made with his children as Bruce and expresses genuine regret." And then Franklin Graham writes, "I have news for them. Changing the outside doesn't change the inside. No man-made modification can fix what's wrong with the heart. Only God can fix the human heart. The Bible says, 'Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new.'" This is what Paul tells us. Real change occurs below the surface, on a spiritual level. As Bruce Jenner proves, with enough money and with a twisted motivation, there's no limit to how you can alter the outer person. Yet the most radical cosmetic changes won't fix a broken and a confused heart. Here's man's problem. As verse 9 tells us, a normal human is blind and deaf and ignorant to God's wonders and wisdom. Thus, he or she will lean toward what can be seen or heard or learned. The tangible world is sort of our default mode. This is why the spiritual man has to lean inward and Godward in a spiritual direction. Real meaning, real fulfillment, real life will only be found on a deeper spiritual level. This is where we should set our sights. Where are you leaning? Are you leaning toward this outward world, or are you leaning toward the spiritual level, the spiritual world that God has for us? You see, too many people become engrossed and obsessed with what's around them, with the material world. They don't take the time to ask, how can I tap into those spiritual things? You know, when I look out at you this morning, all I see is the outward man. I see your facial expressions, I see your body language, and it doesn't really tell me that much. I really have a hard time knowing if you're tracking with me or if you're 100 miles away. Mentally speaking, some of you probably already checked out. You're already eating lunch or playing golf or whatever. Only the spirit of man knows the mind of a man. That's what Paul says. And only the spirit of God knows the mind of God. And this is why, if I really want to know God, I need to cultivate a friendship with the Holy Spirit. God's mysteries are hidden from the mighty, but they are available to you and me through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Again, this is what Paul tells us in verse 12. He says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Now notice there is a spirit of the world in contrast to the spirit from God. Now 1 John chapter 2 identifies the spirit of this world. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." But here's what's passing away. I mean, what's superficial, what's temporary, and not of the Father. He outlines it for us. the lust of the flesh, a fixation on physical pleasure. This is not from God. The lust of the eyes, a fixation on outward appearance or outward beauty. The pride of life, a fixation on what's here and now. These are the things that make up the spirit of this world. This is how the world rolls, you could say. It's a mindset that gets created where life is all about feeling great and looking great and being great. But this is not of God. This isn't the spirit that God has given us. And it shouldn't be what's steering us. Yes, physical pleasure and outward beauty in the here and now aren't always evil. They're not evil things, but neither should we make them ultimate things. And when they become ultimate things, then they distract us from our true goal. When they become ultimate in our lives, then we're following a different spirit. You remember when Jesus taught Nicodemus about the new birth, he said this, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." And then he added, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell from where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." You know, it interests me that Jesus compared the Spirit with the wind. Whether it's the Spirit of this world or whether it's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit blows like the wind. We're all influenced by the wind, are we not? Walk out those doors on a windy day, we'll be influenced. And we're all influenced by spiritual forces, either godly or worldly. Ultimately, the Spirit is what has sway over men's hearts. We're motivated by the Spirit, whatever spirit we happen to yield to. You know, every golfer knows that the wind is the X factor in a round of golf. With a strong wind in your face, a shot you'd normally hit with a pitching wedge becomes a 7-iron. Or a wind at your back turns a fairway wood into a 5-iron. The wind is a huge factor. It dictates the game you'll play. And so it is with the Spirit. When the spirit of this world is in your face, temptation becomes stronger, lust swells up inside, a fiery temper becomes more combustible. But man, when you're in the wind of the Holy Spirit, when the wind of the Holy Spirit is at your back, your aim gets straighter, your shot is stronger, your touch is softer, your distance is longer. See, it's all about the wind that's blowing or the spirit that you have received. Are you part of the spirit of this world or are you flowing with the spirit of God? Paul tells us that we've received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God. And then he says in verse 13, "For these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Man's wisdom teaches us certain lessons. It does. It educates us. But the education is basic and minimal. It can't teach us God's wisdom. Only God's Spirit can teach us spiritual things. Think of life this way. The Christian life is sort of like joint enrollment. You know, there are kids who take college classes even while they're still in high school. I wasn't one of them, but there's some kids that do that. But think of your life this way. The world we live in is high school, and we're all working on our diplomas, all right? We live and love and marry and raise our kids and work and die, and hopefully we find Christ along the way. We graduate to heaven. We get our diploma.
You've been listening to Sandy Adams Radio, coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy has been teaching through a series on the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. If you look at the laws of thermodynamics, you know that things trend from order to disorder if they're left alone. And the church is no different. Without a constant refocusing of our attention on Jesus, even the healthiest of church communities are bound to experience chaos and disorder that rips them apart. Pastor Sandy encourages us to live in unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Instead of letting differences in worship preferences and preferred Bible translations sow division among us, If you'd like to hear more messages from Pastor Sandy, we invite you to visit us online at sandyadams.org. There, you'll find our message archive, as well as a link to our mobile apps. Well, if you're hungry to spend time immersing yourself in God's Word, Pastor Sandy has an opportunity for you.
Imagine taking a year to focus completely on God's Word, grow in your faith, and be trained for ministry. That's what awaits you at Calvary Bible Institute South. Surrounded by the scenic beauty of Stone Mountain, Georgia, you'll receive sound biblical teaching from pastors and hands-on ministry training. Apply now for the fall 2026 semester at cbisouth.com. That's cbisouth.com.
This has been Sandy Adams Radio.